tough guys don't dance. Tough guys don't dance because they're too fucking fat. I believe that gumption, moxie, focus, ambition, you know, toughness, get in the way of health. The very same qualities that can give you a bit of success can also contribute to you being way unhealthy. I bent over backward to name this chapter after the title of a movie I was in so I could write a bit about it. I'll get back to diet in a bit. Tough Guys Don't Dance is a weird-ass movie by Norman Mailer. I have no idea if it's good. I have no idea if it's even watchable. I think a few people believe it's pure genius. I don't know about that. But it's crazy, crazy, crazy. And I always love that. Norman Mailer brought me in and said he wrote the part for me. It was a Southern preacher with an enormous cock. I told him I was an atheist from New England. He said, I'll write the words, you learn the accent, and we'll use a wide-angle lens. I worked so hard on the accent, but I have no idea how much it helped. Some of my Southern friends say I nailed it. Some say I didn't. I don't know. I worked with a dialect coach in NYC who had worked with Meryl Streep. You can see a clip on YouTube. I'm not very good, but I worked hard on it, and that's where it ties in with my eating. I got to play the husband of Isabella Rossellini. Holy fuck. And I fell in love with Deborah Sandlin on the set, but she wasn't fond of me. I got to be in a room with both of them making sex noises on a bed. It was pretty fun. I have a private, heartbreaking story about shooting that movie. If we're ever hanging out and I'm in the mood to bum your shit, I'll tell you in person. Yeah, Isabella Rossellini. If you're ever watching Blue Velvet, you might think she's pretty sexy in that movie. In person, she's 1,000 times sexier and even more beautiful. I met her and immediately wrote a bit in our TV special, Don't Try This at Home, just for her. The bit is called Fire for Two, and the idea was for two people to make out and have symbolic sex, but do it all with fire eating. So we'd kiss, but we'd both be eating fire, and the flames would move across our mouths. It was the only time I've ever tried to write a sexy bit, and it included really hard fire eating. I wrote it so I could be close to Isabella again. I didn't end up ever doing it with her, but I'll get to that part of the story in a few paragraphs. But I'll also try to tie this into losing weight, but that'll be even deeper in the chapter. People sometimes go up to me and kindly say, I love your work. I am flattered and say thanks, but it always makes me laugh. They don't love my work. They love the results of my work. My real work is stupid, boring, embarrassing, and full of failure. The work is in a hot warehouse with Teller and a few other guys sweating and doing things that don't work. I got this great idea for a fire-eating bit. Actually, I got the idea, boy, I'd like to make out with Isabella Rossellini. I wonder how I could do that without, you know, being more attractive. This basic idea turned into my taking one of my skills, fire-eating, and figuring out how to do that with two people. Could two people both eat fire and kiss with their mouths on fire? Instead of the standard fire-eating trick where I move fire from a torch to my mouth then to another torch, could I add another mouth into that chain? And could that other mouth belong to Isabella Rossellini? And that was the idea. That was the bit. Here was the work on that idea. About my best and oldest friend is Robbie Libben. We've known each other since we both worked at Six Flags Great Adventure Amusement Park in New Jersey in the 70s. He was doing sword fighting stunts as one of the Three Musketeers, and I was juggling my partner, MacArthur genius grand juggler Michael Motion. We were all 19 years old. Robbie and I became good friends, and after he worked with the Big Apple Circus for a few years, he came on board with the Penn & Teller show, and we've been working together ever since. Way back in those Great Adventure Jersey times, Robbie and I decided to learn to eat fire together. Neither of us knew jack shit, but we had a book. We learned fire eating from a book. This is not a story for National Literacy Month. Books are fine, but don't fucking learn fire eating from them. It wasn't even a book. It was a fucking pamphlet called Fire Magic or something like that. But there's no magic. There's nothing you can coat your mouth with. There's no cold fire, no trick torches. Fire eating is just a stupid skill. If you want to learn this skill from a book, you better be a couple of teenagers willing to burn the shit out of yourselves. The book didn't explain how to make the torches, so we tried tying cotton onto metal rods with nylon thread. Nylon that melted, stuck to our mouths and lips, and burned until it hardened, and then burned us longer. The burning nylon left marks, so we switched from nylon to wire and turned our torches into branding irons. That left marks and blisters. We were tough guys, and we kept going. At the end of this Robbie Penn adventure, we were really shitty fire eaters with mouths that looked very damaged and diseased. My girlfriend at the time was also 19 years old and up for anything sexually. We were freaks. But even she wouldn't kiss me for a few days. Yuck! It wasn't until a real carny, my buddy Doc Swan, taught me real-world fire eating that my mouth didn't have oozing blisters every time I tried it. Doc also taught me tricks that look great. Books suck. Sometime during Robbie's Big Apple days, he also learned fire eating the right way. If you see the movie Annie, and why would you, he's the fire eater in the big scene that also has Michael Motion juggling in it. Even doing it right, Robbie burned the living shit out of himself that day. He's a pro. One can get good at fire eating, but it's never a smart thing to do. I did not get the idea for the two-person fire eating routine so I could make out with Robbie Livin. I got the idea for Fire for Two so I could make out with Isabella Rossellini. But I had to make sure the fire eating mouth transfer would work. Robbie Livin and I engaged in another fire eating adventure. This time, we didn't have a book. We were inventing tricks that even Doc Swan didn't know. Our work that week was to sit on a hard bench together, two old friends, in a sweaty warehouse, again in Jersey, a great state to do stupid shit, should be their motto, burning the shit out of each other. We sat for hours making it clear to each other that the making out was fake and the pain was real. Showbiz is awkward and painful. The idea for two-person fire eating was beautiful in my head, and the goal of making out with Isabella Rossellini was noble. But the path was neither. Robbie and I sat side by side with our arms around each other, singeing each other's eyebrows and nose hair off. We would breathe in the stench of each other's burning flesh and nose hairs mixed with each other's petroleum burps. It smelled disgusting. It looked disgusting, too, as we had to watch blisters develop in each other's lips and ooze to the point where a horny girlfriend wouldn't even talk to us. We did our flaming kisses over and over until we figured it out. Sickening. It also hurt like holy hell at the time and for days after. I'm telling you, Isabella is that attractive, and we're tough guys. When Robbie and I had learned the tricks and felt we could teach them to a beginner, I got Isabella's phone number from her agent and gave her a call. I explained the gag and told her very honestly and in great detail that even if she were taught well and carefully, even if she did everything right, she would still get burned. Her professionally beautiful lips, the most beautiful lips in the world, would be burned. The lips that Revlon paid more to photograph than they ever paid before would be blistered if she worked in this bit with me. She said, "I'd love to do that with you." And you thought she couldn't be sexier. Our agent started setting up the deal for her to be in our NBC special later that year, and we started planning a time for her to watch Robbie and me do the bit and learn to do it so her beautiful lips would have time to heal. Find something beautiful and hurt it. That's the way I live. Because there's no God and we live in a random universe full of pain, I never ended up doing the bit with Isabella. She got a part in a big fancy schmancy movie that was shooting in Russia. We were shooting our little TV special in NYC. And I think Revlon also didn't want their zillion-dollar lips burned by carny trash. Really hard to blame them. When Isabella called me to tell me she couldn't do it, she also told me that if I did it with someone else, she would consider it cheating and never forgive me. We had already promised it to NBC, though, so I had to do it without Isabella. The bad news is that Isabella and I have never really hung out since. I don't believe she holds me not burning her against me. Our paths just haven't crossed. The good news is that we ended up doing the bit with a Victoria's Secret model who is also beautiful beyond belief and was my girlfriend. Beautiful beyond belief with beautiful lips, and we burned the shit out of her. The bad news is we broke up. But the best news is I ended up with Easy, my wife. And when we do the bit now, Easy has me do it with Georgie, our Vegas showwoman who does a lot of bits with us in the Penn & Teller show. My wife's lips stay perfect. Georgie and I are pretty good at fire eating by now, and we don't get burned that much, but we still get tagged every few shows. My mouth and lips get burned, and I don't give a fuck because I'm a tough guy. The conventional wisdom is that it takes a tough guy to diet and exercise. It takes willpower to decide to take control of one's body and be healthy. But that's not the way it seems to me. When I was obese, everything was hard, everything. And I can handle hard. It was hard to do the show, but that's okay. It was hard to play with my children, but I still did. It was hard to fucking breathe, but I kept breathing. If I were a wimp, I wouldn't have put up with that shit. If I weren't tough, I would have gone to the doctor and said, I can't go through every single fucking day with every single fucking breath being hard. My children are energetic, and I play with them, and it kills me. I do a 2-hour show every night, and I'm panting just doing the monologues. Getting up in the morning is a fucking chore. What do I need to do to fix this? The doc would have said I had to stop eating like a pig and things would be easier. But I could handle tough. I got through. My parents taught me that my job matters and I have to do it no matter what. I've done irresponsible shows with fevers of way over 100 degrees. I've left the stage to vomit in a bucket and come back on and continue without the audience being any wiser. I had a full EKG hookup on me and O2 tanks and masks and paramedics backstage to get me through shows. I've gotten dressed for the show while shaking so badly that I needed help to stand up. I've done the show with broken bones and with my hand burned so badly I needed a glove taped over it so the skin wouldn't peel off on stage. I did the show the night my father died. I did the show the night my mother died. I did the show the night my sister died. I toughed through the death show trifecta. I'm a tough motherfucker. I've never hit anyone in anger, but I can take a punch. I've blown my voice out, and I've had steroid shots just to be able to get a single tone out, and did the whole show in that monotone and still got laughs. I've done the show hating Teller, and with Teller justifiably hating me, and we worked together. I've done the show when the tricks weren't working, and the crowd had enough of me, and I didn't stop. I sure as fuck could do the show forever, no matter how fat I was. If I hadn't been so tough, my fat would have gotten in the way of the show, and I would have fixed it. Someone would have made me fix it. There are livelihoods riding on that show. My family matters to me. If my fat had gotten in the way of playing with my children, I would have fixed it. But I'm tough enough that even being fat and feeling like shit, I could pick up my children and run around. My heart would pound, my head would throb, and I would pant, but I would not play with my children. I owed them a dad who played with them, and I was tough enough to deliver that, even as fat as I was. If I had felt that being fat got in the way of me being their dad, I would have fixed that. I was lying to myself, of course. The truth is that being fat fucked me up in every way possible. It made me less good as a performer and as a dad. It fucked me up as a husband, as a coworker, and as a human being. When I lost the 100 pounds, everything got easier and better. I lost the weight and found a kind of happiness I had forgotten I could feel. Each of my children weighs less than 100 pounds, and the instant I hit my target weight, both of my children together weighed just a little more than I had lost. I could hold both of my children together in my arms and run with the same effort it used to take to just move my own solitary fat ass. Without that 100-plus pounds, I smiled bigger, more sincerely, and more often, with less effort. I was easier to get along with. I was funnier. I was kinder. Everything was easier when I was happier, and I was happier when everything was easier. But the tough guy had thought that as long as I was getting through, I was okay. I thought that things worth doing, like having a family and a career, weren't supposed to be easy. I didn't care how hard they were. I was going to do them. It wasn't that I didn't know being fat was hard. It wasn't that I thought losing weight was going to be hard work. One of the problems was that I was tough enough to get through no matter what, at least until my fucking heart stopped dead and or I stroked out. As long as I was conscious, I would do the show and be a dad. Now that I think back on it, I kind of felt, I could never think this, it's too stupid, that taking care of myself was the easy way out. I felt that respecting my body and my energy would make me a loser. Only wimps paid attention to their health and were careful about what they ate. Assholes would have to ask the waiter at the restaurant for steamed vegetables with nothing on them. Tough guys would say, I don't care, bring me any food you got lying around, and then eat it. I never sent anything back to any kitchen. I didn't care. I wasn't so weak that I had to have a salad waiting for me after our show. I'd just get a room service cheeseburger and some fries and hit the hay. That's what a tough guy did. When I got the blood pressure dial tones in my head and could feel the silent killer yelling in my ears, fuck it. I got up and did my work. Strap 110 pounds around my waist, and I'll still get through my day and do my tasks. I could do the Penn & Teller show with a dozen lead baseball bats shoved way up my fat ass. All I had to do to lose that weight was convince myself that losing the weight was not the easy way out, but the hard way out. I had to convince myself that it took a tough guy to take care of himself. That's what Cray-Reg gave me. He didn't say, hey, dieting is easy and fun. He made it clear to me that what I was going to do would be tough and crazy. I would eat only potatoes. I would cut my calories to almost nothing. I would feel hungry a lot. I would have to fight my old habits every second of every day. He made it clear that most people failed at what I was going to do. He made it clear that losing weight was more difficult than dragging my fat ass around for the rest of my shorter life. All I needed to do to be able to channel my personality into losing the weight was to simply believe that losing the weight would take more willpower than living my life as an obese fuck. Tough guys can dance. Tough guys get healthy.